right. Well, you can guess. You know what I'm fixing to say. So go ahead and do it. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is the brand new, at least for this Torah cycle, brand new book. And it is in English. It's called Numbers. And that, at least, is probably about the best name of all the books in the Torah, because there are a lot of numbers in the book, and that makes sense. It's also called, of course, Bamidbar, because that's not only the first unique words in here, but that's also where the story takes place, Bamidbar in the wilderness. So, chapter 1, in verse 1 is where we're going to start, so that's where you turn. And it says, as it often does, "And Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe, Bamidbar Sinai, in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they had come out of the land of Mitzrayim." I mean, he said the following. Now, literally, it's here, it's lift up the head, Seu et Rosh. So et is that Aleph Tav, right? That's the pointer. So it points to the direct object. Lift up et, what means, what are we going to lift up? The Rosh, the head. And it's translated in the most English renderings, of course, as take the sum of the congregation of the children of Israel by their families. But really it is. I like this idea, and I always emphasize it every year. Lift up the head, because we're going to make an individual count of individuals, people, as opposed to just numbers. So you've heard the term head count. That's okay. But by lifting up the head, there's a little bit of something more individual that I think is implied. But regardless, when we're done here, we're going to get a lot of numbers. By their father's houses, according to the number of names, every male by their poles. Now, what we're going to hear is these are going to be military-aged males. Males from 20 years old and up, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. So by definition, above the age of 20 are those that are able to go to war. "You shall number them by their hosts, even you and Aaron." So, going to go out and take this head count. "With you there will be a man of every tribe, one, every one, ahead of his father's house. These are the names of the men that will stand with you." So now we're going to see a listing, not just of the 12 tribes, but the heads, the patriarch of each of those 12 tribes. First, from Reuben, Elitzur, the son of Shedeur. And we're going to see that pattern in each case. A listing of the tribes generally, but not always, but generally in order of birth. So Reuben's the firstborn. Of Shimeon, Shelumiel, son of Zerudashadai. Of Judah, Nachshon, son of Aminadab. Of Issachar, Netaniel, son of Zuar. Of Zebulun, Eliab, son of Helon. Of the children of Joseph. Now remember, Joseph had two sons. Of Ephraim, we're going to get Elishama, son of Amihud. And of Manasseh, Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. From Benjamin, Abidan, son of Gideoni. Of Dan, Ahiezer, the son of Aminashadai. Of Asher, Pagiel, son of Ochran. From Gad, Eliasaf, son of Deuel. From Naphtali, Ahira, son of Anan. These, it says, were the elect of the congregation, the Ha'edah. The princes of the tribes of their fathers, they were the heads of the thousands of Israel. Moshe and Aaron took these men that are pointed out by name, and they assembled all of the congregation, Kol Ha'idah, on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families. So, they basically describe what we've just heard, who they are, who their daddy is, and what family they're from, by their father's houses, according to the number of names, 20 years old and up, by their poles. So, all of the military-age men. And Yahuwah commanded them, as he commanded them, it says, so did he number them in the wilderness of Sinai. The children of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, their generations, by their families, by their father's houses, according to the number of their names, by their poles, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. It's kind of a mouthful. There's a whole paragraph there in each verse. And what we're going to see is that paragraph is repeated virtually word for word. Well, this time plus 11 more, so 12 separate times. And actually, it might even be 13, depending upon how they do it with Joseph, because they do separate Manasseh and Ephraim. But there is a point here, right? There is something about the redundancy that makes a point that we need to pay attention to. So I'm not going to claim that I actually know what it is. I can give you some speculation. And of course, as you might suspect, over the years there have been lots of claims as to why it might be. But one thing is for sure, there's a lot of ink that is spilled on these 12 tribes, the names of those that are leading them, and the numbers. And part of the reason, and only part of the reason, of course, is that later on we're going to get another accounting at the end of their time in the wilderness, and we can see what happened to them. Some tribes got bigger, some got dramatically smaller. And, of course, everybody who is named here, with the exception of those two men that we're going to hear about later, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. So, after that paragraph says, those who were numbered of them, of the tribe of Reuben, were 46,500. So, Reuben, 46,500. Of the children of Simeon, by their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, those that were numbered thereof, according to the number of their names, by their poles, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. There's the same paragraph. Those that were numbered from Simeon were 59,300. Now, of the children of Gad, by their generations, again, the same exact paragraph, those that were numbered of Gad were 45,650. Of the children of Judah, same paragraph, those that were numbered of them, the tribe of Judah, were 74,600. So Judah's a big tribe. Of the children of Issachar, again, by their generations, by their families, fathers, houses, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and up, all able to go to war. Of Issachar, there were 54,400. Zebulun, same thing. Those that were numbered, 57,400. Of Joseph, namely, now we're going to see both sons here, of the children of Ephraim, their generations, by their families, able to go to war. Those that were numbered from Ephraim, 40,500. And then, of Manasseh, their generations, all that were able to go forth to war, that same paragraph, those were numbered, were 32,200. So you combine them both, and we got a pretty good size tribe, over 72,000 that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, Benjamin, their generations, by their families, able to go to war. 35,400 from Dan, those that were numbered. 62,700 of Asher, 41,500 of Naphtali, those that were numbered. 53,400. Those, it says, these, all of them, were those that were numbered, which Aaron and Moshe numbered, and the princes of Israel, 12 men, there were each one for his father's house. Now, you notice something here. Because we're talking about men going to war, Israel does not include, in this case, the 12 tribes. The listing includes the two sons of Joseph separately. That makes 12 if we do not include Levi, because Levi, of course, doesn't go to war. So we'll see this pattern, too. There will often be 12 tribes named in Scripture, and they're not always the same 12. Sometimes Levi's in or not, depending upon whether or not we're talking about going to war. Occasionally, there's another reason why another tribe would be listed. And in order to make the number come out to be 12, sometimes Joseph's sons are both listed. Sometimes it's just Joseph. Total, though, verse 46, here's the key. All of those that were numbered were 603,550. Now, that's a number that I committed to memory many years ago, 603,550, because it appears in a lot of places, and it's actually quite important. And we're going to see it tells us a lot about things that we can, sometimes just doing the math gives you some real interesting insight. And we'll come to one of those here in a little while. But the Levites, of course, it says, that's what I was just explaining, they were not numbered among them. And we know why. Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, how be it, tribe of Levi, you shall not number, nor shall you take the sum of them among the B'nai Israel, but appoint instead the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony and over all the furniture and all the things that belong to that. They'll be the ones that bear the tabernacle, the Mishkan, the tent and all of its appurtenances, and the furniture thereof. They will minister unto it, and they shall camp around about the Mishkan. So on the kind of the inner circle around the tabernacle at the center of the camp will be the tabernacle and then Levi around it. Now when the tabernacle is set forward, the Levites shall take it down. When the tabernacle or the Mishkan is to be pitched, the Levites will set it up. And any common man, anyone who's not a Levite, that draws nigh shall be put to death. And the B'nai Israel shall pitch their tents, every man with his own camp, every man with his own standard, according to their host. So they actually had a banner, and they would put the banner up, and that way people knew where they were going and where they would camp. And we're going to see later on exactly how the 12 tribes were divided into four sets of three on each of the cardinal points, north, south, east, and west. But the Levites, though, shall pitch round about the Mishkan of the testimony, so that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the B'nai Israel, and the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. Thus, it says, did the B'nai Israel, according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moshe, so they did. The second chapter says, Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and unto Aaron, and he said the following, the children of Israel shall pitch by their father's houses, every man with his own standard, according to their ensigns. A good way off shall they pitch around the tent of meeting. So there's that separation in there for the Levites. Now, those that shall pitch on the east side, towards the rising of the sun, will be they of the standard of the camp of Judah. So Judah occupies kind of the pole position to the east, according to their host. The prince of the children of Judah, we just reminded ourselves of this, Nachshon, son of Amminadab. And their host, those that were numbered, again, 74,600. Those that pitch next to him shall be Issachar. And the prince there, Nathaniel, son of Zuar, their number, 54,400. Zebulun, we have Eliab, son of Helon, and 57,400 of them. So all that were numbered of the camp of Judah, now we're going to get a set of three that are all those that are on the east side. So we get a sum here. Now, one of the interesting things that strikes me as an engineer is there are several ways now we can do cross-checking, right? Now, you can add up the number of camps that were on the east and the south because we have those numbers as well, and the math should all work. Those were numbered of Judah, 186,400, when you add up those three, according to their host. They will set forth first. So when the camp is told, head them up, move them out, Judah and those on the east go first. Then we go to the south side. The standard of the camp of Reuben will be there. Prince of the children of Reuben is Elitzur, son of Shedur, and his host. Of them, we have 46,500. And then the ones that pitch next to them, next in the birth order, Simeon, children of Simeon, and the prince of their tribes, Shelumiel, son of Zurushaddai, and his host. The numbering there, 59,300. We got Gad, and it's Elisaph, the son of Reuel, who is their leader. His host, those that were numbered, were 45,650. All that were numbered now, when you add up those three to the south from Reuben, 151,450. They are the second to head out. Then the tent of meeting with the camp of the Levites sets forward in the midst of the camp. So, if you picture how this works, when you got these literally close to 3 million people going to set out with all their animals and their tents and everything they've got, it's the south side that goes second because they start with the east. Then we get to the south. And then after the south, that's the first two, right? Now we're going to see the Levites, and they've been, meanwhile, getting ready to go. The Levites will carry all of the tent of meeting, the Mishkan, right smack in the middle of this procession. So they shall set forward every man in his place by their standards. Which brings us into the west side. On the west side, you got the camp of Ephraim and their host. Prince of Ephraim is Elishama, son of Amihud, and of them, 40,500. Next, the tribe of Manasseh, their prince is Gamaliel, son of Pedachur, and there's 32,200 of them. Then comes Benjamin. The prince of Benjamin is Abidan, son of Gideoni, and of them, 35,400. So, you add up the three on the west, all that were numbered of the camp of Ephraim, 108,100. Finally, the north side. We got the standard of the camp of Dan, and the prince of Dan is Ahiezer, son of Amishaddai, his host, those that were numbered, 62,700. Then next to him is the tribe of Asher. The prince there is Pagiel, son of Ochran, and there are 41,500 of them. Finally, Naphtali, prince of their tribes, is Ahira, son of Enan, and of his host, 53,400. So when you add up those on the north side, all of the camp of Dan, you get 157,600. And they are the ones that bring up the rear when the camp moves out. These, it says, are they that were numbered of the B'nai Israel by their father's houses. Now, this is a number we've seen before. Must be important. He's going to repeat it. All that were numbered of the camps, according to their hosts, were 603,550. So if you add up all of those four camps, you come up with this number again. And at one more time, at the end of chapter 2, reminds us the Levites, though, were not numbered among the B'nai Israel as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. So, it says, thus did the B'nai Israel, according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moshe, they pitched by their standards, they set forward, each one according to its families, and according to its father's houses. Now, the next chapter says, and this is a good break, these are the generations of Aaron and Moshe in that day when Yahuwah spoke with Moshe in Mount Sinai. And now we're going to talk about the Levites. The names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests that were anointed when he consecrated them to minister in the office of Kohen, or Kohenim, plural. And we recall, tragically, Nadab and Abihu died before Yahuwah when they offered strange fire before Yahuwah in Bamidbar Sinai, because they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar then ministered in the priest's office in the presence of Aaron, their father. So they died, leaving no children. And the two remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, are next in line. Then Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, "Bring the tribe of Levi near, and set them before Aaron the priest, that they minister unto him, and they will keep his charge." So now we're going to get the assignments, basically, for the subsets of the Levites. They'll keep his charge the whole congregation before the tent of meeting to do the service of the Mishkan. They'll keep all the furniture of the tent of meeting, and they charge the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle or Mishkan. And you will give the Levites unto Aaron and his sons. So they report directly to Aaron and his sons. They are wholly given unto him from the B'nai Yisrael. And you appoint Aaron and his sons that they might keep the priesthood, the Kohenimship, and the common man that draws nigh, this is the second time we've heard this in this book now, shall be put to death. And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, "Behold, I have taken the Levites from among the B'nai Israel instead of." Now that word, of course, is interesting. Tachat, or in place of. Right? An I, tachat, an I. And in this case, it's the Levites, tachat, in place of the firstborn. All of those males that open the womb among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. All the firstborn are mine. On the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I set apart unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine they shall be, Ani Yahuwah. Now, this is going to be interesting. There's a whole lot that hinges on this idea of the firstborn and the replacements and the redemption of the firstborn and being substituted for the Levites. So number now the children of Levi by their father's houses. Only it's not going to be the men of war age. This time it's every male from a month old and upward. And by the way, there's a bit of lore or midrash on why a month old. And the idea is infant mortality, of course, tends to take children very young. So in general, if a child makes it to his first month and is still alive, he's got a pretty good chance of reaching at least adolescence or adulthood. Okay, so going to number those that are above the age of 1 month old. Now, Moshe then numbered them according to the word of Yahuwah, as he was commanded. And here we go. These are the sons of Levi by their names. So Levi had the three, Gershon, and Kohath, and Merari. And these are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families, Libni and Shimei. Sons of Kohath by their families, Amram and Ichar, Hebron and Uziel, and Merari. He had two, Mali and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to their father's houses. Now, of Gershon was the family of the Libnites, the family of the Shimeites. These are the family of the Gershonites. Those that were numbered of them, all the males, this time a month old and older, were 7,500. Families of the Gershonites were to pinch on the side of the tabernacle to the west. So we've got the Gershonites on the west side. Prince of their father's house was Eliasaph, son of Lael. And the charge of the sons of Gershon and the tent of meeting and the tabernacle and the tent and the covering. So basically, they're going to carry all of the coverings, the parts that are the physical outer covering, and the screen for the door of the tent of meeting. So the fabric and essentially the skins and so forth that make up the bulk of the tent. The hangings of the court, screen for the door of the court, which is by the tabernacle, the altar roundabout, and all the cords, and anything that pertains to that service. Now, Kohath, he was of the family of the Amorites, and the family of the Itzarites, and the family of the Hebronites, and of the Uzielites. Okay, so all of those were sons of Kohath. According to the number of all the males, this time it's again a month old and up, 8,600. They are to be keeping the charge of the sanctuary itself. And the families of the sons of Kohath now pitch on the side of the tabernacle to the south. So we're working from west to south backwards. prince of their father's house of the Kohathites was Elizaphan, son of Uziel. And their charge was the ark, the table, the candlestick, the menorah, in other words, the altar, the vessels of the sanctuary. So all of the furniture from the inner part of the tabernacle was their charge. And the vessels of the sanctuary were with the priests' ministers. So they get essentially the really high-end stuff, the screen, all the things that pertain to that service. Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, is prince of the Levites. He has the oversight of those that keep charge of the sanctuary. So he basically is in charge of kind of the inner circle types. Of Merari, we got the family of those two that were named, the Mahlites and the Mushites. Those are the sons of Merari. Those that were numbered of them, according to their males, all of them a month old and older. The prince of the fathers of Merari was Zuriel, son of Abihail. And they were to pitch on the south side, on the side of the tabernacle, this time now to the north. And their appointed charge, the sons of Merari, are all of the physical support structures, if you will. The boards of the tabernacle, the bars thereof, the pillars, the sockets, the instruments, anything that pertains to that part of the service. All the pillars of the court round about in their sockets, their pins and their cords. So they got the heavy stuff, if you will. Those that were to pitch before the tabernacle east, okay, east side. Okay, we can guess where this is going to lead, right? This is now towards the sun. We've got Moshe and Aaron and his sons, those keeping charge of the sanctuary, those that are charged for the children of Israel. Any common man, this is the third time we hear it, that drew near was to be put to death. All that were numbered now of the Levites, whom Moshe and Aaron numbered at the commandment of Yahweh by their families, all the males, a month old and upward, this is the sum of all of those three groups. We're now 22,000. Nice round number, 22,000. So now Yahuwah says to Moshe, number all the firstborn males. Now notice, this is firstborn males of the Bnei Israel from a month old and upwards. Take the number of their names. You notice this is different because we're taking males now that are not necessarily going to war. They're going to be the replacements in a way, Tekat, in place of the Levites. So we're also numbering the firstborn males from a month old and upward as opposed to 20 years old. Take the number of their names. And then you shall take the Levites for me, even Yahuwah, instead of Tekat, all of the firstborn among the children of Israel. And the cattle of the Levites instead of or in place of all the firstlings among the cattle of the Bnei Israel. So you're going to do the same thing for the cows and the goats, the cattle. Moshe numbered, as Yahuwah commanded him, all of the firstborn among the Bnei Israel. Those are a month old this time. So, all of the firstborn males, according to the number of their names, from a month old and upward, those that were numbered of them, 22,273. All right, we had 22,000 Levites. We got 22,273 of the firstborn of the sons of Israel that were not of the Levites, but the remaining 12 tribes, okay, in place of. Interesting. Now, there's an interesting number here, and I'll just point this out. If you want to ask yourself an unusual question, you got 603,550 men of the age of being able to go to war. And here are the firstborn males, counting all of the firstborn males. That would be a larger number than those that are just 20 years old and up that were the firstborn. And you got 22,273 of those. So if you do the simple division and say, okay, 603,550 divided by 22,000, if I remember right, that comes out to about 27 children for every firstborn male in a house. Now, bear in mind, occasionally you're going to have some firstborn females, but that's a lot of children. So that's like 27 to 1. Now, what does that suggest? How many women do you know that during their productive lifespan can bear 27 children as the firstborn? Probably not very many. So there's only one logical, easy conclusion here, and that is, as those that have done the math point out, wow, the wives, the children of Israel, they were very, very polygynous. In other words, obviously the average male had to have more than one wife in order to produce 27 children. You probably got some that were barren and didn't have nearly as many as others. So this is a whole lot of women that were essentially having one firstborn for a house. So Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, take those Levites, the 22,000, instead of the firstborn among all the children of Israel, the 22,273, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle. The Levites shall be mine, even Yahuwah's. Now, as for the redemption, there's a leftover, right? 22,000, and we've got this 273 that are spare of the firstborn of Israel. They're over and above the number of the Levites. So, you'll take 5 shekels apiece by the pole after the shekel of the sanctuary. This is 20 gerahs. They always tell us that a shekel is 20 gerahs. Not that we know what the weight of either one for sure is, although there's some pretty good guesses. Near as I can tell, folks, a shekel was probably in the vicinity of the weight, somewhere between a quarter and a dime. So a pretty good size hunk of silver. Anyway, you shall give that money, the silver, wherewith they that remain over that are redeemed, unto Aaron and his sons. So he takes the extra silver. Moshe then took the redemption money from them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. From the firstborn of the children of Israel, he took the money, 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And he gave that redemption money, as he was commanded, unto Aaron and his sons, according to the word of Yahuwah. Again, as he was commanded, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. That phrase appears many, many, many times. And there's a reason for that, obviously. Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe and unto Aaron, both of them, and he said, take the sum now. And again, it's Rosh. We're going to lift up the Rosh, the head, of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, their families, their father's houses. This time it's 30 years old and upward, up to 50 years. All that enter upon the service to do the work of the tent of meeting. So it's not just all the Levites. These are the working age males, 30 to 50. This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tent of meeting, about the most holy things, the Kodesh Kodeshim. When the camp goes forward, Aaron goes in with his sons. They take down the veil, the screen, and they cover the Ark of the Testimony with it. So nobody's supposed to look at the Ark other than the inner sanctum, the high priest, and presumably his sons. Other than that, you don't look upon it. So they're going to cover the Ark with the veil of the screen, put that on the covering of sealskin, spread it over with a cloth of blue, and set all the staves thereof. So basically, get it ready to go and cover it up. Upon the table of showbread, this is the golden table that's got the two handles, the two poles to bear it. They spread a cloth of blue over that and put on the dishes and the pans and the bowls and the jars, things they used to pour out. And the continual bread shall remain on it. And they spread upon them a cloth of scarlet and cover the same with now a covering of sealskin and set the staves. So it's ready to carry, and it's covered multiple layers with sealskin over the top. Then they take a cloth of blue and cover the menorah. Its light, its lamps, its tongs, its snuff dishes, all its oil vessels, the things they used to minister with it. And they put that, and all the vessels thereof, inside a covering of sealskin, and put it upon a bar. Upon the golden altar, they spread a cloth of blue, cover that too with sealskin, set the staves thereof. So they're covering everything with a cloth, usually of blue, but sometimes a different color, and then sealskin over the top. Take all of this stuff, the vessels of the ministries wherewith they minister in the tabernacle, and put them in a cloth of blue, cover them with a covering of sealskin, put them on a bar. So we're multiply packing and preparing for the trip. So ready to hit the road, get everything packed up. They take away the ashes from the altar, spread a purple cloth thereon, put upon it all the vessels, the things they used to minister, the fire pans, flesh hooks, shovels, basins, vessels, and spread that with a covering of sealskin again, and set the staves. Now when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering all of the holy furniture and all the holy vessels as the camp is to set forward, after that, notice, only after that, now is when the carriers, the sons of Kohath, come in to bear them. They stay outside until everything's covered up. But they shall not touch the holy things lest they die. So this is important stuff, and it's important to note. And by the way, as I'm reading this, if we remember, there comes a point at which the sons of Kohath kind of get a little bit uppity, and they seem to have had enough. And it may be that that this has a little bit. Now, this is just markology. This is just my speculation. They carry all of this stuff, but they can't see it. And I suspect that when we read some of their complaints, you can kind of at least get the gist that just maybe this grated on them a little bit. They get to carry all of this stuff, but they never get to see it. The charge of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, shall be the oil for the light, the sweet incense, the continual meal offerings, the anointing oil. He has charge of all of the tabernacle and the things that are in there, whether it's of the sanctuary or the furniture. And then it says, Yehoshua spoke to Moshe and unto Aaron. He said, do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites. Don't cut them off, but do this instead to them, that they might live and not die. When they approach unto the Kadesh Kodeshim, the most holy things, Aaron and his sons go in, and they point every one of them to his service and to his burden. In other words, you're going to carry this, you're going to carry that. But they shall not go in to see the holy things as they are being covered, lest they die. And there's the warning. It's not like, it's kind of a repetition. We've seen it before, but obviously there's an emphasis here. And anytime you see, lest they die, you figure people had better be paying attention. So that is the final verse now in the Torah portion for this week. Kohathites, note, they are allowed to carry. They got this job to carry all of these things, but they are not allowed to go in until they are covered up, and they're not allowed to see them or touch them, even as they're being covered, lest they die.